Hello and welcome back to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Fried. It is so good to be back here with you, Jordana. How are you? What's going on?
I'm great. I'm excited because we just finished the recording of the end of this episode, which turned out great. We have your college ex-girlfriend on. I really enjoyed hearing about dating you in college. So you guys should listen to the very end because it's great.
One of the more surprising emails that I've ever gotten was my college ex, Ashley Bisman, who just wrote a book. She's like, I've written a book about dating in New York City. And I was like, fantastic.
I have a podcast.
And she was
about
like, let's get you on the show. And then when I texted Jordana, I was like, what do you think? And she's like, Jordana, you were like foaming at the mouth. She's like, I get to hear what Jared was like in college. Absolutely. So we're very excited about that. So listen to the end of the show. A lot of fun with Ashley. Also, if you haven't heard the trailer yet, we are doing a subscription model to the podcast. That's right. You can get extra podcasts, two extra podcasts a month. You get ad-free episodes, and you get early releases of the U Up podcast for $3 a month. All you got to do is subscribe on Apple. So the Apple Podcast apps now has an option for a subscription. So you can either keep things as you've had them with commercials, and you get them on Wednesday morning, or you can sign up for $3 a month and get extra podcasts. And we already taped them. Jordana, the first episode was great.
The first episode is great. The second episode, which we also taped, is also great. And I really think what we have been doing with these, which I think is awesome, is like these episodes, you get what you're used to. You get, you guys submit your questions. We answer them. It's very much like a podcast about solving your dating problems. You Up with Benefits is about solving each other's dating problems.
Yes.
I think that's, and it's great. It's very personal. It's very intimate. Yeah. And I love that aspect of it.
I do too. The second episode, especially, I mean, to tease it a little bit, the second episode, we read through, some of Jordana's old emails, and that is what a fun time that was. The first one we talked about It was first when we talked about my heading back into the dating world. It's just I think we're because I have a subscription podcast of my own for my own stuff, and what I've noticed is it is super intimate. It is, the audience knows you in a different way. It is super, it's way more freeing. So all of you out there, if you're looking for extra podcasts, if you're looking to kind of hear a different spin on this show with Jordana and I, get subscribed on Apple Podcasts. But if you don't want to do that, that's okay too. We're going to do the same great show. You're just going to have ads and it's going to come out on Wednesdays.
Exactly. And I think you guys are really going to love it. And you get a free 7-day trial, I believe. So you can try it, see if you like it. Decide from there.
Give it a shot. So, Jordan, do you have anything else going on at Betches?
That is most of it. Obviously, you guys heard Dylan on our podcast a few weeks ago. Check out Pop Alarm. Check out Morning Announcements for more real news. What do you have going on, Jared?
I'm going to be doing shows this weekend in Nashville. This is a last-second booking. I'd love to have any of you come out. Bring the group chat. Bring your friends, your boyfriends, your sisters, your brothers, your mamas, your papas. Anyone who wants to have a good time, I will be in Nashville this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Go to jaredfried.com for tickets. And then I'm on the road, Red Bank, New Jersey, and Bridgeport, Connecticut. So those are two dates that are coming up. Red Bank, New Jersey, Bridgeport, Connecticut, Atlantic City, Richmond, New Jersey, Mohegan Sun, Magoobies in Baltimore.
Magoobies.
Chicago. That's right.
I have to say that.
Favorite place. DC. I'm coming to DC. Austin, Boston, Dallas. So jaredfried.com, jaredfried.com. The Bachelorette is in full swing. I'm going to ask everyone here to go listen to me scream on Instagram at jaredfried. And it's been a lot of fun. I want people to watch these stories because I put a lot of work into it. And then I jump on YouTube right after doing an after show. And then I'm a co-host of the Bachelor podcast, which has been hitting its stride. I think we got a real good thing going on over there, too. So get involved with all the Bachelor, Bachelorette, Bachelor stuff. What are we talking about today?
Today we are talking about maintaining momentum when you're, it's like the summer, we're back to plan season. Or not even season, plans year after the break we had. It's IRL summer. Shit's happening. There's a lot more excuses than there were 6 months ago when you couldn't really say you were going anywhere because everyone knew you weren't going fucking anywhere.
And also, it feels like the excuses are more of a lie now.
Yeah.
Like now, you know, like now there's nothing, there's no excuse that could beat COVID because in the COVID cocktail, in the COVID excuse cocktail, there was like disease, death, monetary stuff, economic. It had all the goods of a good excuse.
Totally.
Now you have no excuse. What are you doing tonight? No, nothing. I'm staying in. I don't want to go out with you. I don't want to go. It is just, it feels just more personal,
right.
Doesn't it?
It totally does. And I have to say, people are like, some people I think are like still trying to use a COVID excuse here and there. And I don't think anyone is having any of it. Those days are really fucking numbered. Do you know what I mean? I'm sure everyone has heard someone talk shit about someone who's like, and they, you know, they said
I'm done.
They're vaccinated. They said they're not eating unless it's outside. And you're like, and that person's just railed on.
Listen, I don't want to turn this into a different type of podcast, but I wrote this the other day on Instagram stories because I posted about like a grazing board. Like someone put out a grazing table. You know, I'm the board lord, so I have to have an opinion on this.
Right.
So they posted a grazing table, and I made fun of the grazing table. And then I got a couple messages being like, oh, a grazing table in a pandemic? And I'm like, don't, no.
Blocked.
We can't, we're done with this. We've listened to you for a year. We're done. Okay. We got,
that's
you told
not even
us,
how
believe
COVID
in science.
Spreads.
we've gone over that. That's already been debunked otherwise. But also the idea that the same person who was like, believe in science, wear the mask, is now like, you're going to a grazing table. It's like, I got vaccinated.
Right.
What's more science than that? What's more believing than that? So like, what are we doing? You know? So it's like, and again, we're finding out who those people are who like living on Moral Mountain and aren't just allowed to live on Moral Mountain because before you could. I understand that. And again, this all involves context and nuance, and that's what people who want to make you be the bad guy hate. They hate nuance and context. So
exactly,
it is annoying. I'm with you. Oh, they won't eat outside. They won't eat outside. Okay, well, get out of my life. I'm done with you.
It's my new barometer for friends.
Yeah.
and kind of. But yeah, I mean, to take this back to the question at hand, you know, plans now, excuses are, there are more legitimate excuses. We are traveling again. We are seeing people again. And I think now there's more questions when it comes to dating in those aspects.
Also, we're more aware of our time. That's another thing. Like we have come closer in touch with what a night means. Like just by virtue of this year, the time we used to waste getting to work. Like there's friends of mine that are like, I'm never going back to work on a full schedule. And then they're like, look at all the stuff that I would do in between and how I'm more, you know, in touch with my time. So again, what you just said too is we have lived three lives in 3 years, 2 years, pre-pandemic, pandemic. Now we're in post-pandemic. That means changes. That means a whole new era of dating.
Totally.
So maybe the person that would have, you know, gone on the date won't go out anymore. But maybe they're handling it differently now because excuses are just different.
Totally. And I think that's something we're going to have to keep a close eye on, how that changes really the dynamic of things. But let's get into this person's email.
You're at Dating Central.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep a close monitor.
Go for it, Jordan.
All right. Hey, Jordan and Jared. Love the pod. Thank you both for providing fun, thoughtful, helpful content over these past few years. So here's the question. How do you keep momentum when you first start seeing someone, but you're both traveling / away from each other for a significant amount of time? Had a first date with a guy I met on a dating app. It went great. Date lasted like 6 hours. Conversation was flowing and super fun. Lots of chemistry. First date ended with us hooking up, which was also really fun. LOL. Then we also hung out.
That's right. IRL summer, baby.
There we go. Then we also hung out the next night. I initiated and we hooked up again. there was some amount of urgency, I guess, because I had to leave New York City the next day and I was traveling for the next 2 months for work and vacation. He's doing some traveling as well. We ended the second night both saying that we wanted to hang out again and he'd see me when I get back. So I'm into him and would really like to see where this goes. I know 2 months isn't a long time in the span of things, but I've only met this guy twice and I'm worried that things could fizzle out during the time away since the relationship is very, very new. What, if anything, do I do to keep the momentum going? Do I throw a text in here and there / wait for him to text me? Do I wait until I'm back in the city to say anything? Help a girl out. Thanks. Anxious travel gal. For context, I'm 26, guy's 30, live in New York City, and for better or worse, I am definitely someone who plans everything in advance. LOL.
Yeah, this is a tough one because this is also a very specific situation. Like, usually it's someone being like, you're traveling, I'm traveling. This is a 2 month break after
two dates. Right.
So I think her issue to me is the way she writes this email. It's more conceptual because I read this and she's like, how do I keep the momentum going? And she says, I'm into him, would really like to see where this goes. Like, just because, and I think what the problem that we do with dating, with 2021 dating, is that we try to be old school and kind of ignore the new school. Like when she says, I'm into him from two dates, well, let's see how into him you are after 2 months of being virtual.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I think she's like, I'm into him. How do I get to the third date? Well, you have 2 months of doing a lot of other shit that you could not, you have to accept that you might not be into him because then this never works. Then, yeah, you don't know him yet. So like because at a certain point you're chasing a dragon. You know, you're chasing this third date just because you're like, I gotta get that third date because we had two good dates. Just because you had two good dates doesn't mean they're a good third date. Just because you had two good dates doesn't mean that you're gonna, like, if you're just set on I have to get this third date, then you're fucked.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, I totally get where she's coming from in terms of the anxiety that comes with that. Because,
yeah, you know, I get it. I'm not saying she's wrong.
No, I see what you're saying entirely. And I think that, like, I can relate to her in that, like, I remember getting anxiety if I was going on a trip early into dating anyone, or like I was not going to be around for, like, what, you know, then because you get so excited and you get so hopeful and then you're like, oh, now I have to, like, think about this realistically instead of, like, romantically. And it's hard to separate the two if you're kind of like, and then most of this anxiety comes from the idea that, like, if this doesn't work out, you know, like, I'm screwed, or like, I'm not going to meet anyone else. Sure. And so that doesn't, like, you can't, like, focus on the moment. But if you're going to be away for 2 months and you went on two dates, that's like three times. It's like, think about it proportionately to the relationship is kind of the thing. Like, if that'd be like me being away from Mike for 3 years.
You're right. I never thought of it that way. You're totally right.
In which case I probably might be like, maybe we should take a break and then see how we feel in 3 years. See if we're like, you know.
Yeah, I'm going off for the army. I'll be back in 3 years. Okay. I think we should figure something out, a plan.
Yeah.
Or maybe a breakup. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it totally depends. You have to think about things in the context of, like, what is the length of time that you're gone versus the time that you had two great dates, and like you shouldn't be that invested after two dates. So if you are, just remember in the back of your head that you are probably overly invested in this date for whatever reason and it's causing you anxiety. But like, and it's much easier said than done. But if you're still dating this person, you probably won't even enjoy those 2 months that much.
I totally agree. And I think she has to, like, what you're saying is basically, so you're basically, your suggestion to her is like, you know, revisit this when it comes up, and for now you're friends. Is that kind of what it is?
I would say for now, like, I would just think of it as like, it's on like a mode where if you speak to him, it's great. But if you don't, like, it doesn't mean anything really in either way.
I mean, this is why I've been saying beware of vacations, holidays, birthdays, pandemics. Like all of these things give kind of a chance for other things to happen, for you to lose, for someone to lose interest, for someone to just kind of,
it's not personal.
You know, it's not right. personal. And I think that's the biggest takeaway is you have to remember this isn't personal. You go, when you write, the date lasted like 6 hours. That's you making it personal. That's you saying, well, this was the best date ever. And he must have felt that way because it was 6 hours long. And it's like, yeah, you had a fun night.
Right.
Like if we were to watch this in a movie, the montage would be you two having a fun night, then you two having a second night, then you on vacation. And most of the movie, just like you said, proportionally would be the vacation.
Right.
You know, and it would end with you coming back with your luggage and going, wonder where that guy is.
How would you approach it?
I would approach it as, first of all, I think she should text whenever she has something to say. If you had a 6 hour date, that was such a great time. Whatever comes up, I think like checking in, how you been, if you want to know how they're doing. I don't think creating a calendar invite to remind you to get in touch with him is a healthy and worthwhile thing to do, because that is now putting him on a schedule because you're working towards a goal towards, you know, when you use the word momentum, I fear that you're looking for the goal of a relationship. How do I keep this going? It's like, how do you keep things going with someone you barely know?
Right.
Like, I don't know, you know, I think the phrase she should get used to, or if she with this guy, is I'm game. And just like, I'm game, because he might come. I think like for these 2 months, he might text you, see what's up with you. Cool, I'm game to get that text. If you have something to say to him, I'm game to send that text. If you come back and you text him, hey, I'm back, I'm game to get together. Like, but I think it's also like you're in this position where if you slept with him or hooked up to get momentum going for when he's back, then you misjudged how to make that happen.
Right. And I think I think that's totally the right way to go about it. And I think only you know how speaking to someone without seeing them for two months is going to, like, how much you can handle that. Right.
Yeah.
Or how much anxiety that's going to cause you. You know yourself. So you have to think, like, for me, I think it would be like too, because I was so anxious, it would take up too much of my time to be preoccupied with if I sent the text, when is he responding to the text? Or like, am I not going to be able to enjoy my time during this 2 months because I'm thinking about this thing, this person that's not here? So I might just kind of like take, again, like be game to answer their text, but not text them until I came back and I could get a better sense in a more real world way of like if it's actually working out or not.
I totally agree with that. And I think the way to do that is to say, I think you have to like come to terms with, if this person is on my mind when I'm back, what do I want to happen? Because that's really the question. She's saying, how do I keep momentum going? But for what? Like, if you guys respond to each other's, you know, Instagram stories for 2 months, and then he's like, hey, come over whenever you're around, or hey, I'm out. Is that really what you want 2 months later? Or do you want to like see if the, you know, if the this could be a thing still?
Right.
You know, it's like a decision between those two things. So it's like, with that, you know, you have to say like, okay, that's kind of letting go that he has to happen.
Right.
You have to let go that he has to happen. I think that's the biggest problem.
Yeah.
Because if you got to get back with the perspective, if I'm still thinking about him, because he might not be. Maybe you meet someone on this vacation over the course of 2 months. It's, you know, this is the summer to do it. IRL summer. This is when you want to get out there. So, you know, if I'm still thinking about him, I will send that text, but I do want that date. I don't want meetup.
I think that's great. It's also making that about you, not about like, how do I make sure that he feels the momentum too? It's more like, what do I want? And what am I going to do to like make that happen?
Honestly, it's more likely that if you're text, like sending a text every day during the vacation and be like, what's up? How you been? Good morning. You're honestly going to be heading. I think you're more likely to head towards hookup town
than you are actual relationship time, because then that puts a lot of pressure on, like, it makes you guys have to go on the greatest third date of all time, as right. opposed to just getting back together.
Totally. As opposed to just like, you know, doing, like, it in an organic, fun way that doesn't feel like you've built up this virtual relationship.
It's like messaging with someone for 3 weeks before you meet, after you've met on the dating app, before you've gone on a first date. It's like, now it's like, well, now this first date matters.
Yeah.
It's like, you have to remember this third date matters as much as a third date would matter in, you know, if the 2 months didn't exist.
Totally.
So I don't know. It's hard though. This is hard because this is like something that comes up where people are like, how do I keep this going? It's like, well, at what point do you become turned off by how they don't keep it going? Or at what point are you, have you forgotten about them and lived your life in a way that you could forget about them?
I agree. And I would, I mean, I think the best bet is to say, is to take all the pressure off of it for those 2 months and come back to it after.
If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to you, no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night. Go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com, promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you to achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Let's do some awkward sex. You ready?
Let's do it.
UUP at Betches.com. UUP at Betches.com. Keep spreading the word on the podcast, people. Hi, J&J. Thanks for always keeping us in check. Got you. That's right. I wanted to share an awkward sex story of mine that I can't stop thinking about after I've heard a couple of the stories you've read on the pod. I always thought this guy was super hot in college, but he was hooking up with a friend of mine, so it was clear he never saw me, especially since he hit on me at a bar after college and didn't know who I was. Okay, but that's a little serious, don't you think?
What? The...
She's making herself into the ugly duckling.
The wallflower.
Right now. She's like, yeah. Yeah, but he was hooking up with a friend of mine, so it was clear he never saw me, especially since now he's hitting on me in a bar after college.
Yeah,
didn't know who I was.
I mean, she's definitely put him on a pedestal of sorts of like, I'm, you know, totally. I'm, she's all that.
Yeah. Oh, you took out the ponytail and took off your glasses?
So hot.
Oh my God. So hot. After this run-in at the bar, we went on a few dates, hooked up a few times, and one night he came over to cook dinner and drink wine. We made his recipe of a Thai Mex noodle dish, which included a peanut sauce with curry, cilantro, jalapenos, and more.
That's an aggressive.
What do you think of a?
What date is this? One.
I call yeah or no. They are gone on a few dates.
Okay. And then, I mean, curry is an aggressive early in the game date.
I think. Hey, want to have my fart pasta?
Seriously.
It's okay.
I mean, Thai and Mexican noodle dish. I mean, but also, I'd be interested to try
it. It sounds pretty good. But I don't know.
I want the fart pasta.
Okay. I don't know if I would opt for it on the first date, but.
No, but I'm interested. After we ate dinner, we started hooking up and he began fingering me. Fingering me will never not be jarring to me. I know that's not maybe
it's just
right.
An unsexy word. It sounds like you're like, it's very mechanical sounding.
It does sound very, we need to create a new term for fingering. What would we call it?
Like a finger massage. I don't know.
We got to get rid of finger.
What are they? Yeah.
Finger massage. Didn't help at all.
It didn't help at all. Yeah. It just sounds like you're massaging someone's finger.
How about the index?
Like the
incubator.
The female hand job.
The fem job. He started fem jobbing me. What about that?
That could work.
We might not want to gender it. He started jobbing me. How about that? Maybe
jabbing me? I don't think jabbing
gender
is better.
Neutral. No. Jobbing me.
Oh, you got a job. Got it.
I got a job. No, the other thing. All right, okay. Let's keep going. He started hooking up and he began fingering me. Immediately, it felt like he was jamming whole jalapenos into my vagina. Oh, no. I cannot tell you how much it burned. I yelped and told him to stop. I knew exactly what had happened. The spice of the jalapenos was still lingering on his fingers from cooking the meal. We panicked and didn't know what to do, so he went and got coconut oil and was fingering me with that.
It's a full meal.
He went from one fingering to another. That did not help, so I got in the shower so I could wash myself off. That didn't help either, so he ran and got the peanut butter and said since his fingers were the problem, he started eating me out with the peanut butter while I'm like half hanging out of the shower in full panic mode that my whole womanhood was going to fall off.
Oh, my God.
This is unbelievable. Eventually, it started to feel better, and we just laughed it off. It wasn't until a week or so later that I remembered something about this guy that my friend had told me when she was hooking up with him in college. He has a fetish with food in bed, Twizzlers, mangoes. This had to be the reason he decided to eat me out with the peanut butter.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't look at him the same after. I also wanted to point out that you guys had read a couple stories along these lines about spicy fingers, and you were like, he didn't wash his hands. Well, he certainly did. But this stuff lingers. Jared, don't go pee after chopping jalapenos, even after you wash your hands. Thank you, emailer. I won't. My friends get a kick out of this story to this day, 6 years later. Thanks for reading. Sincerely, Jalapeno Poppers. Great name.
Wow. Yeah. Do you think this guy almost did this on purpose so that he could break out the peanut butter?
That is problematic, I would say. Like, if you're getting to your kink via and spicing up a vagina,
right?
Like, I don't
think it's definitely problematic.
It's definitely problematic.
If that's the case.
I want to believe in the good in people, and I want to believe that, like, this happened to be springing oil for his kink. Okay. He's like, oh no, I'm so sorry. Like, it starts at I'm sorry, and then it goes to, oh my God, this is the best thing that ever happened to me. But I don't know. Like,
yeah, I'd like to believe that it was an accident.
I would like to believe in an accident. I guess the only part that would be hard for me to believe is an accident is him being like, oh, I'll just eat it out. I can't use my fingers.
Right.
Like, at that point, why not use your other
hand?
That
really makes it seem like a kink.
That seems like, yeah.
That wouldn't be my first thought in any sexual.
No. Or how about like use a towel with the peanut butter on the towel?
Yeah. And the oil? I don't know. Like, this is, I mean, if she's heard that that's his thing, it's a little suspect.
It's a little too convenient. It's a lot suspect. I agree. It's too convenient. I just don't.
Well, hopefully he's not a monster. That would be
well,
rude.
We hope not. I mean, has anything like this happened to you? You ever have?
I'm not really
sense.
Into
I've gotten
food.
In my eyes.
I don't even like food like being eaten in my bed. So, I'm really fun. As you know.
Yeah, it's such a blast.
Are those
what
chips
a
in there?
my kink is no crumbs.
Yes. Exactly.
Ooh. Jordana goes to the sex party. They're like, what are you into? A clean living space. Yeah. I've had
the jalapeno get in my eye. This has happened where I had washed my hands and it does linger there.
Yeah. Oh no, I've had like the jalapeno issue, but not sexually. I've also had lemon juice in my eye, which really stinks.
Oof, brutal. I mean, do you have a name for this? We have some name ideas for Maddie.
I have
BB&P.
There you go.
La spicy shower, the freaky foodie, jalapeno pants. Those are all fun ones.
I like those. Jordana, what do you got? Mine is finger food or fingering food.
I like fingering food. I had what did I have? It was a dog day afternoon because he's licking the peanut butter.
Oh yeah, that's good.
So, but I red flag or deal breaker? Like I think it's a deal breaker for me because of the kink aspect.
I mean, the kink aspect would make me very suspect of like his intentions. Mm-hmm. If someone purposely like did that with the jalapenos, that would definitely be a deal breaker and perhaps a cause for greater alarm.
Sure.
if it was an accident, I'd be like, I still don't think I would enjoy being eaten out with peanut butter after that very like painful experience or uncomfortable experience.
Where was the milk? Like milk should
right.
Help.
That's I've heard. Does it work for your vagina though, or is that just for your mouth? I don't even know.
It's been a while since I put milk on my vagina, but I
or someone else's.
But it's definitely a bizarre first move to be like, I'll get it out with my tongue. We want to be safe,
right? Like, it's just also, like, wouldn't he be worried about like the jalapenos like on getting onto his tongue via the peanut butter?
He's gonna take one for the team. Seriously. If he can lick out peanut butter from your vagina. What if he's like, oh man, I've always dreamt of this moment. This like, I don't know. It's a little too.
Yeah. I think I'd be out unless like I really could sense that it wasn't about the sexual kink.
I guess. But if someone, from this side,
if someone came to me and they were like, I really like food in the bedroom and can I put peanut butter on your vagina? Mm. I think I would be okay. If I like them.
Just put down a towel first.
Yes. No, it's a crumbless food, you know.
If I found out that I got jalapeno in my urethra, you know, like in my dick, and it was all some big game to get her to suck peanut butter off my dick. Like, if I found out that this girl's kink, like I'm trying to switch it around, where a woman's kink is somehow getting peanut butter onto my dick. And to do that, she made my dick spicy. I would be like, why didn't you just ask?
That hurt. What hurts the most is that you couldn't come to me.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I didn't have to have the hot dick to get here, you know?
That's really funny. So, but you would be fine with it if it were brought to you ahead of time.
It would be a deal breaker. If you need to like do that, it's a deal breaker.
Right. Because that's also the first time. It would only escalate, probably.
Yeah, we're going fluffernutters and jellies and jams.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been to therapy for many years, and one of the benefits of having been to therapy is that I've learned to get to know myself better. And so I know just how much social interaction I can take before I need to revert back into my shell. So it's really helped me optimize the time that I have out and socializing with friends, and also helped me like know when it's time to just go home and be on my own. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/UUP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/UUP.
It feels like I've tried every trick in the book to get better sleep. Cutting out late night snacks, no TikTok before bed. But let's be real, I'm going to keep scrolling. What did elevate my bedtime routine? Upgrading my bedding to Bowl and Branch. And right now you can take 20% off their selection of buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. Upgrade your bedding now and thank me later. I have the Bowl and Branch sheets. Other than being beautiful, they are so comfortable. They're hotel quality. You're going to sleep better. And here's the trick. Take your Bowl and Branch sheets, put them in the wash, then make the bed and get directly into that hot bed. You're going to have the best sleep of your life. Made from the rarest 100% organic cotton and completely free from toxins, it's easy to see why Bowl and Branch are loved by millions of sleepers. These best-selling sheets feel incredible on night one and get softer and softer for years to come. Bowl and Branch signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee, so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Bowl and Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code UUP at BowlandBranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, BowlandBranch.com. Promo code UUP. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Let's do another email.
All right. How to deal with being stereotyped by someone you're dating. J&J, I've been listening to the J Train podcast for about 8 years and got into you up at the start of 2021 after ending a long-term relationship. 8 years is a long time. It's almost.
I've been in this talking game for a while, as we're going to learn from my the trip down memory lane that we take later in this episode.
Exactly.
I'm an old man. My girlfriend, I don't even recognize her name when she emails.
That's how old you are.
Yeah.
Who
is this?
Thank you both for all the advice and laughs. I've told a bitch and tagged a bitch or batch whenever I can. I've been seeing a guy for over a month now that I met on Hinge. He's 35 and I'm 28. He's really into climbing, mountain biking, kayaking, etc., and he likes to spend time outdoors. I did a lot of these kinds of things when I was growing up, as I had a super active aunt who always made sure me and my cousins were playing outside and doing exciting things. I'm an only child. Since then, as my cousins have grown up and moved away, I haven't done these things in a while. Appearance-wise, I am a super girly girl. I've always been in positions where I was expected to look a certain way for my job, dress stylishly and professionally, hair done perfectly, makeup done perfectly, wearing heels, etc. Now that I'm semi-newly single and dating, that's an interesting term, I bring that same kind of polished look with me when I go on dates. While it gets me a lot of attention physically, both on dates and in the work world, unfortunately, it also leads people to stereotype me and not take me seriously, especially because I am so young. As a result, this guy has put me in this box as a girly girl who wears stylish clothes and doesn't want to mess up her hair or makeup, and not a girl who wants to go on these adventures with him. When I told him I want to do these things with him, he seriously looked me up and down and said, "Look at you. You don't want to do these things." He even commented on how I wore white tennis shoes to his place one day and how that's a sign I can't be into the outdoors or these activities. We were having a movie night, not even going outside. I told him I feel unfairly stereotyped based on how I look, and he said he's open to trying these things with me, but it's still hard to feel like I need to show up covered in mud next time I see him, for him to stop thinking I'm just a blonde who wears crop tops and white tennis shoes who wants to drink mimosas on a patio all day instead of going on an adventure. Part of me says, fuck it. I'm more than just the way I look. And if someone can see that, then they are short-sighted. But it's still so frustrating since I deal with this in almost every area of my life. Even in the work world, I get typed as the pretty young blonde girl who can't be smart or accomplished or know what she's talking about. Luxury lounge problems. Am I right? LOL. I'm glad she said something.
Yeah. I'm just too pretty to be taken seriously.
It's just getting really old. Any advice would help. It's like a guy being like, I just make too much money to be taken seriously.
It's just so hard with these beautiful boobs and this hot ass and all this money and good paying job.
Thanks so much.
We love luxury problems here. Don't worry.
More than just a blonde bitch.
So what do we think?
I don't know. This is a...
To me, this guy's
he's gaslighting her.
But
like, I think he doesn't want to do these things with her.
Like, he's
like,
he's saying that so like, that she doesn't have to.
Honestly, she has made him out to sound like a guy from a 90s rom-com. Like, I don't even know what type of person this is. For him to look at her and go, you want to go hiking? Like, she's not asking to go, you know, play tackle football with his friends.
Camping or something, like, yeah.
Yeah, she's like, I want to go, let's do that stuff. She's looking to get to know him on a different level. And to me, this, you know, like, she's looking at it through the prism of, I'm never taken seriously because I'm a blonde. But, like, that doesn't really make sense to me. Don't most people, I would assume you want to share interests with someone you really care about. And if I'm looking at it from that perspective, like the idea that you wore white tennis, look at you. You don't want these things. Like, you don't want this life of canoeing and
right.
living out, you know, sleeping outside. He makes it sound like it's like he's going to, you know, he's hanging out in the prison yard.
Is that like his way out?
Fucking. I think it's his way out. I think that's his way of not having to like do these things with her. Like, especially when she says, "I'm in semi," you even notice semi newly single. Like, I don't even know what that means. Like,
right?
You're casually seeing this guy? This guy to me is trying to keep it casual.
I think that's true. Otherwise, he would find it like kind of endearing and be excited to kind of like do something that you. If someone I was dating was like down to do something that even if they weren't even like particularly interested, but they were down to do something I like to do. I'd be like excited about it.
Yeah. You don't want this world of s'mores and camping and sleeping right. under the stars. You can't handle this white tennis shoe girl. Like, I understand the idea of being stereotyped and like how annoying that is. Like, I wouldn't want to. I just think that this is all kind of a big device to keep you at arm's length. Like, you going camping with him is a very familial get to know you moment. You hanging out and watching a movie and fucking, you know, that's casual. That's an easier thing to kind of get out of, in my opinion.
Right. I could agree with that. What do you think about, I mean, like, she also makes this like a problem of the world that I get.
It is a problem in the work world. I get
typed as the pretty young blonde girl who can't be smart or accomplished. Like, I don't know if that.
I mean.
Is true.
It depends on, I think it depends on what field you're in. If it's a male dominated field. I would assume that this is something like I would believe them. I would say, yes, you know, you're dealing with men who are going by old ways and old standards and societal norms that they've bitten into. So I can understand that she feels this places and like, listen, I don't know what life is like as a blonde woman. I have no idea, but I can say that her feelings are her own and she's allowed to have them. But what I will say is, sometimes these looking at the world through society's view lets people off the hook in the way that this guy's getting off the hook.
Right.
You know, we go, you know, like when you try to like teach the world, you know, you end up forgetting about yourself. And to me, her problem is bigger. It's like, I'm dating this guy who doesn't want to hang out with me.
Right. Like she's trying to come to him and like, but I also don't believe like the stereotype of her not being like into all this shit is like so untrue for her. She's like, yeah, when I was a kid, I used to go biking and mountain climbing and kayaking. Sure. That was what, 15, 20 years ago. Like she's like, and I'm actually like a huge kayaker. It's like, there is a truth. There is, I think it's okay to say there is an element of truth to the stereotype. If we're talking about the world at large, like you're not doing that regularly. You're regularly looking pretty polished. There's nothing wrong with that either.
I think owning it instead of going, why does the world feel this way? It's like the world's going to feel, you know, we say it all the time on this podcast. When it rains, you got to bring an umbrella sometimes. Like you're not going to change the way people look at you. But also you can be aware and you can remove yourself from those people. Like to me, you know, oh, look at that. Like to me, like if someone looks at me and goes and makes me feel less than, I go, okay, you're out of my life.
Right. You're not buying what I'm selling then clearly. Like the person who you're supposed to be with is going to like that part of you.
Yeah. And it's like, and yeah, maybe like to me, if people at work do this, I'm like, use it to my advantage. Oh, you don't think I can do something? I get to go home early. Goodbye. You know, like, I don't know. Like
Right.
There's like, it's almost like, you know, sometimes like shitty things can open up pathways for you. And that's, you know, that can sound bad to people. I can understand where they're like, well, I shouldn't have to deal with anything shitty. Well, you know, life fucking sucks. So, you know, like I'm not saying she should change anything about her, but like be aware of these people aren't the people that you really like should care about or trust or try to lean on at work or try to like look to, you know, like they're not the ones that you're going to go to.
Right. I don't know. I just personally wouldn't be that offended if I like wore a dress and heels every day and someone was surprised that I wasn't like an avid mountain biker.
Sure.
I'd be like,
you think
you,
she's taking like making a bigger thing.
I think it's, yeah, I think it's kind of like be a little self-aware. Of course people don't think that. Like, of course people like, yeah. But like if you, if that's, if it's, if conveying that you are into that is very important to you, then like, I think you could find a way to incorporate that into your life more.
Well, it's also like the difference between like showing and saying,
right.
Like, hey, I'd love to go. Like, well, that's what I mean though. Like when I agree with you, like, okay, fine. You wear heels and you look good. Like good for you. And then your guy you're dating is like, you don't want to go. You go, no, I actually do.
Right.
Like if your first move should be, I get why you think that, but I would love to go. It shouldn't be you and all the other men in the world just thinking badly about a blonde woman. It's like, I don't know. I give someone a chance to disappointment before
yeah.
I judge them to be a disappointment.
I agree. And I think that attitude is very important because, I mean, this you could say this is true, but any other stereotype that anyone could find about anyone else, it's kind mm-hmm. of like, if someone assumes like you said, like just say that you're not like that. And then you can judge them or gauge them based on the reaction. If this guy's like, well, you're never gonna, that would never happen with you. Like you said, there's probably something else behind the reason he's saying that he's not actually excited about that.
I mean, the idea that you're like, I would love to go hiking with you. And he goes, well, you better show up muddy next time. What? I'd be like, what do you, that's the point where I would end the comment, go, wait a minute. Do you just not want to go with me? Like, I don't understand. I just told you I'd love to share something with you. It's fine if you don't want to go with me, but like, don't tell me I'm going to go roll around in mud for you right now. And that feels pretty pathetic.
Right.
So is that really what you want me to do? Like, I don't even get it, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I think this is sort of an excuse to keep it in that like hookup zone where he's maybe put you in his mind as someone that he's not going to date.
Totally. Let's, you ready to play some games?
Yeah, we'll be right back with Ashley Bisman, Jared's college ex-girlfriend and author of Chasing Butterflies.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school. Get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code PODCAST15.
Okay, hello and welcome back to the U Up Podcast. We're going to play some games and we have a very special guest today. She is the author of a new book that I believe is on Amazon 622. So the book is out today. She's the author of Chasing Butterflies. It's out today. We want you all to go buy it. It's a fantastic read. It's so great. And she's also my college ex-girlfriend, Ashley Bisman. Thank you for coming on.
My pleasure. It's always so fun seeing an ex and talking about dating.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So Ashley, I was so excited to have you on, like someone from Jared's past to talk about, I feel like you've talked about college dating, but it's from your perspective. So I would love to hear what it was like to date Jared in what year was this?
We started dating Jared. What was it?
Junior year.
Junior year of college. So like 2005.
Yeah. Wow. That sounds like 100 years ago right now. Yeah.
Yeah. And I believe I was his first, like, very serious girlfriend. So
for sure. Yes.
Yeah.
So, okay. So you met in 2000. Give me, like, I want the whole story. Let's hear it.
I didn't think that I would feel embarrassed about this until now. Like, I thought this was a good idea until right now. My blood is rushing over me. I'm so embarrassed because I'll let the listeners know, like, Ashley reached out and I get an email from, and it's weird, you know, being, we were talking about this before we started, but like, I'm 30, you get to 36 and you get an email from a name that you're like, I don't recognize this name from anything. And it's like, hi, Jared, it's your ex. And I'm like, and like your heart started, like, what happened? What's going on? What happened? What did I do wrong? You know, like, and it was from you, Ashley. So I was like, oh, okay. And then you said you wrote this great book, and now I'm having this second thoughts on hearing about myself from college. Which
were you afraid it was going to be like an email from an ex being like, and you are the father?
I don't know.
I was going to say that. I was going to say, by the way, you have a 15-year-old. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Oh, don't even say that. I'm like.
And I want to introduce you.
No kids, I promise.
Just your own now.
Just my own with my husband, all treated post Jared Fried, not to work.
That's right. Yeah. Okay, good to know. Okay, as long as we got that out of the way. So, yeah, okay, now go on. I'm sorry to interrupt. I wanted to make sure that I told everyone how nervous I am right now.
Well, I think Jordana asked how it started.
Yes.
Jared, do you remember?
I don't even remember. I just remember something. I mean, this all lands in the fraternity sorority world of Penn State and having like mutual friends. And, you know, I think the way I approach women in college is like kind of like in the way that like telephone game is played, like telling a friend who tells a friend that you think she's cute and like the least confident way possible. I think that's my go-to.
I feel like it's funny because I feel like men don't remember any of the details.
Never.
And like, you probably know the exact moment that you like, that you met him or heard of him or like,
oh yeah,
I'd like to hear your version.
Yeah. Oh, maybe I'm stupid. I don't know.
The greatest part is that I feel like Jared was at first like way more into it than I was. We were at the fraternity and I think we like hooked up that night. By hook up, I mean kiss, by the way.
Sure.
And a few nights later, we were talking at still like casually hooking up, and Jared was like, oh, I'm studying abroad in a few months. I'm going to Florence. And I was like,
fuck.
And I go, oh, I am too. And I was like, yeah, maybe I'll see you around there. And Jared was like, so insulted. He goes, what? Like, maybe I'll see you around, you know?
Yeah. Now this is all coming back to me.
Yeah. And that's how it started.
Yeah. And then we were abroad in Florence together and we're together.
And you were like a fish. Like official?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jared's like, I don't remember.
Who?
Yeah. What's your name?
Okay. So you date abroad and then you come back to Penn State and you're still dating?
Yeah. Our senior year dated. Yeah.
Okay. And then how did it end? Who hurt who?
Jared totally hurt me.
Oh, stop it.
This is what the audience wants to hear.
Well, you know, I think it's every guy. This is how every breakup goes. I feel like the guy is just not ready, doesn't want to settle down, but he is too, what is it? Like he doesn't want to break up with you and hurt your feelings. So he just like acts really mean until you break up with him.
Sure. There's an element of that. Yeah. The get so weird that you get called out on why are you being weird, so it doesn't come out of nowhere. And yeah,
it sounds like you did the bait and switch where it's like you weren't even that into him at first. And then like he got you. And then you're like, oh, actually, now that I know that I have it, I don't know if I want it.
Well, it was also like that post-college thing. I remember being like having no clue. I mean, at that time, I was like taking tests to become, you know, to sell life insurance and annuities and stuff, and like heading down a road that I was like, I think like, you know, everyone at 22 is doing a job that they think they should be doing. And then you were like, is this the rest of my life? And, you know, things aren't that solidified yet, even though you want them to be. Like, you just want to go to the you know, the 13th grade, you know, and right. you don't
this
have
this is your
that.
Quarter life crisis breakup.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Ashley's like, so, yeah, it had to have been.
Right.
So like how was Jared as a boyfriend, though? Was he like a little bit of like a D-bag or was he like a nice, sweet
Jared
person?
Was the best boyfriend.
I'll get you your money. I'll Venmo you after.
Yes, please. Thank you. And you know what? In college, like Jared, I feel like is the same way now that he was in college. Life of the party, ton of energy. So, you know, being his girlfriend, that was awesome because, you know, I went to his house, did the frat parties, and, you know,
it was fun.
Yeah, leader of the tailgates.
The tailgate czar. I don't want to correct you, but yeah, the czar.
Tailgate. I believe he wore overalls to the tailgates with like no shirt underneath.
Okay.
And an Elvis helmet, super hot.
Very hot. Yeah. The Elvis wig, which it was like rubber. So I would drink from it once a tailgate. And my good friend, it would be me drinking from the hair, which again, so hot. So, you know, I'm sure Ashley's thanking God right now that she's married with kids to someone else and living a better life. But I and then my buddy would be in a bear suit. So just like a guy in an Elvis.
Yes.
So I'd be in the Elvis wig with overalls and my buddy in a bear suit. And we'd get there at like 6 a.m. to tailgates. But yeah, that's kind of, I do the same thing now every Saturday. It's a lot sadder, but.
Yeah.
So Ashley, do you feel like you're over this relationship?
I mean, it was a tough one to get over, but like 15 years later, I can finally say I'm there.
This is the closure that you needed, this conversation, right?
So much closure.
So you then move on, you know, pick up the pieces, so to speak, from me. But then you start dating around New York and that kind of becomes the premise of this book. I mean, you wrote a book about dating in New York and I'm like, there is a moment where I go, I don't think I would have made it into this book, right?
Look, I will not confirm nor deny because I do want people to get out and read this thing. So you never know who can make a cameo in it.
That's right. But everyone should go buy it on Amazon right now. Chasing Butterflies. It's called Chasing Butterflies. We're going to have links to it in the bio for this episode. I'll put it on my social media as well. So it's called Chasing Butterflies. It's on Amazon. You can get it right now. Great summer reading. Ashley, give us the byline. What's this book about?
Yeah, so the book is a memoir. It takes place in Manhattan when I was living there in my 20s, post breakup with Jared Fried. And, you know, I'm just dating all around. And it's so much of what you guys talk about, you know, just like the weird, you know, the weird dating encounters, the awkward breakups. And I went home one day and I just started writing about it because I was like, this is so ridiculous. And so many people don't talk about what goes on in the dating scene in Manhattan. And I think it's even bigger and greater in New York just because of the nightlife with the bars and the clubs and there's so much going on.
And also totally. the numbers game. There's so many people that are looking to date. Like you're not in a one farm schoolhouse town, you know?
Right. Yeah. There's just so many people, so many options, which I write about a lot in the book. Lots of different types of guys. And I was doing all of this in the shadow of the Freedom Tower, where unfortunately I lost my dad on 9/11. So the book is definitely a fun and flirty chick lit, but then it's mixed in with this kind of dark, deep, you know, emotional stuff because I was dating in the city where I lost my dad. So it's definitely like a dark sense of humor mixed in with that chick lit vibe. So it's different.
I think our audience is going to, that sounds like right up their alley. You guys definitely check it out. I want to see if Jared makes the cameo or the lessons learned. But what did you learn, both of you, from dating each other? Do you have any sort of like came out of that relationship? Because we do say like even a failed relationship, you do get like some sort of knowledge.
What did we learn? Are we talking about in the bedroom or out of the bedroom?
Out of the bedroom. I mean, in the bedroom too. Either one. Whatever was the most profound.
I'll keep it PG. What did I learn? I think I learned from it that I wish I just had more fun and I didn't overthink things as much as I did. I think when you're in your 20s, you're always like, you know, what's the plan? Where are we going? You know, totally. Do you see yourself with me? And I wish I just let myself be a 20-year-old and really just lived it up and enjoyed myself. So I'd say, yeah, with Jared, I wish that like I let that anxiety go and just had fun and embraced the fact that we were young and, you know, just living life.
Yeah, I definitely have. That's definitely what it is, because you're like, I think you take yourself, when you get out of college, you're like, now I'm an adult. It's over, you know, like, and it's like so not over, you know, it's so not just move, you know, put on the tie and go to work. It's not like that, especially when you move to a fun city like New York. And especially like considering the book you wrote, like you had other lives, you know, post us being together and all that stuff. And like now looking back, like we both laugh at it. And like, it seems like it was 100 years ago.
Yeah,
and it's like kind of wild. And it's like, also, I learned that my mom will never forget one woman I've ever dated for the rest of my life. My mom is still, how's little, she calls you Little Ashley for some reason. And so she little goes, for some reason, she's always called you Little Ashley. So how's Little Ashley? I go, I don't know. I haven't spoken to her in 12 years. So,
well, now you can send her this episode and she'll get the full update.
Exactly.
Him and I loved each other. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a love affair.
Well, my last question about that is like, I mean, I'm sure you're not really in the like dating podcast world anymore. It sounds like you're married with two kids, but is it weird to have like have an ex who does run a dating podcast and you're kind of like, I had the first 10.
I don't know where to start with this question because, you know, even if you're so over your ex, you don't want a daily reminder of them. You know, you just don't. So I like it. Jared is great, but, you know, I don't need him like in my face all day, every day. So all of a sudden, a couple of years ago, people started saying to me, oh, you got to listen to this guy, like Jared Fried. He's just so funny. He's so funny. And I'd be like, I used to date him. And it still happens to me. Like, now people just
that's so funny.
Hilarious. You got to listen to him. And I'm like, Jared, just like, get out of my life.
Go away. Yeah.
Like, leave me alone.
Yeah. I think of that. But I think of that with anyone I've dated. Like, I always think I'm like, I always envision what they're saying about me, like making fun of me, even talking about dating on a podcast. Like, oh yeah, that idiot. Like, what the fuck does he know? Like, I always envision that.
Yeah. Well, and it is funny too, because I know such different sides of Jared because he has the funny side, but I also know like your family life and, you know, sure. A more serious
deep soul.
Side. Yeah. So I'll listen to the podcast and it's so funny and silly, but then I'm like, that's only one little piece of him. Yeah. Yeah. There's more in there.
he's like an onion. There's a lot of layers.
Right. Yeah. That's why they have to subscribe to the paid version where we're giving out more of the layers.
exactly.
But I do want to ask about the book, like your overall take, you know, like if there's someone dealing with, we get this email a lot. And I think a lot of people will be helped by reading your book and dealing with grief and dating. What would you say to someone who's dealing, you know, again, like your story is your own and it might be different from someone else's. Like someone else might be out there and like they lost a parent to cancer or something like that. And they're like, how do I date doing this? Do you have any thoughts on that? Like what, you know, the best things were for you and how to like also like reveal that information. Like I knew that about you and your family. And like a lot of people were like, how do I go on a date and tell people about these things? How do I reveal these things? Like what would you be your best advice for people in that position?
Totally. I think that's a huge theme to take away from the book. You know, one of the opening scenes, I'm, you know, in bed with someone and he's in a great apartment downtown Manhattan and it overlooks the Freedom Tower. And I'm like, well, this is odd because I feel like my dad is almost watching over me and I'm in this very, you know, right. I'm in this very unconventional position right now. But I think there's a lot of takeaways. You know, when you lose a parent, it affects your relationship so much, whether you realize it or not. And I think it makes you realize the kind of person you need in your life, because you need to find someone who can fulfill you, you know, in all aspects. Like, it's not just physical, it's not just mental, but there really is an emotional component to dating. Like, I don't want to give away too much with the book, but I've dated people who've lost their parents as well. And it definitely makes the connection deeper. They understand in a way that no one else will. So I think you almost have to just embrace the loss, if that makes any sense, you know, just like find out what about that made you stronger and go into your relationships better, opposed to just like, you know, kind of being an introvert and not opening up because you're scared to lose someone again.
Absolutely. It's definitely going to be helpful for people to read, like, especially like a funny look at something that's not so funny to everybody. That's kind of what we try to do here with this podcast. We're like, hey, like, you know, dating is hard, but like, let's talk about it in a fun and light way. And I think people are going to get that out of this book. Go, go, go. Amazon. It's out right now. It's called Chasing Butterflies. It's all over my social media. We'll have it up, you know, in the bio and all that stuff. You want to play some games? You ready?
Yeah,
let's do it.
Are you going to wear the Elvis helmet while we do
I'm
it?
I'm putting on the Elvis helmet. We're going to get, I'm going to start drinking beer from my hair.
Overall,
those like kinds of games.
Overalls, yeah. Red flag deal breaker. You know the game. So this thing happens. Is it a red flag? You see it, but let it go. Is it a deal breaker? You end things sight unseen. Okay. I'll do the first one. You guys ready?
I'm ready.
Sending this on behalf of my best friend who finally met a seemingly great guy after a bunch of losers. What a fun, positive friend. He's the CEO of a company, and obviously she Googled it, and it's a huge supplements multi-level marketing company. Think Herbalife, but not that one. I don't want to give too many identifying details, but suffice it to say, it was definitely deemed an unethical company not long ago, and he's been at the company forever. What do you think? Red flag or deal breaker? I love this one. This is a good one.
It's a good one. It's like Tony Soprano. Yes, yeah. Or no?
Yeah, right.
This is hard. Unethical company. I'm like, anything else? Any other tidbits? Just that's it.
That's it. An unethical companies, but like again,
it's like an MLM kind of situation. It sounds like.
And he's the CEO, ladies. Remember, you know.
I gotta say, red flag. I mean, there's no way around it, right?
So red flag, better than a deal break. You're still in. You're just like...
Oh, no. Misunderstood the game. Out.
Okay.
And run.
You're out.
Run away. Yeah, doesn't sound...
You're out?
I mean, it's just no good. I don't... Because, you know, where someone works and what they do, it speaks on behalf of who they are, right? So if he's the CEO... I don't think it could work.
I kind of believe, like, isn't every company unethical at some point? Like, isn't there, I'm trying to think, like, if they're allowed
don't even
want to
know
to
what goes on behind the scenes at Betches.
Yeah. Betches. They're just, they're
doing some crazy shit.
Right. I don't know. I don't know. To me, if they're like not, because it's not against the law what they're doing. It's not like this guy, like, you know, Tony Soprano's different because it's like, I heard he kills people.
Right.
You know, Herbalife is different because like, I mean, I would assume that there's some people that think Spanx is unethical. No,
that's true.
Well, that's like, why I wanted more on the unethical part. Yeah. Like, so it's not illegal. It's just.
Right. MLMs are not illegal, right? They're basically just like most of the people who do them don't who like work for them don't really make any money and they like think they will. But like it's not really illegal. I mean, is it more or less legal than working for like Marlboro?
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, like some people would say like working at an alcohol cigarette company, like, you know, some
that's
people
true.
Would say like
slippery slope,
Amazon. You know, Jeff Bezos runs an unethical
I would date
company.
Jeff Bezos.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Jeff Bezos pays, you know,
I would
those
too
people
if I were single.
Right? I would date Jeff Bezos. I mean, I'm just, to me, it's a red flag. It's okay. I'm taking, this is a message to Whitney Wolf of Bumble. That's an unethical company to me. Like,
She's all a billionaire. Any company that gets beyond a certain like level, I think, has to be a little bit. You don't get to the top really by being like the most pure person ever. I agree. It's a red flag.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do all another right. one, Giordano. Take it
hey,
away.
Hey, J&J. Thanks for keeping me sane over the past year. Love the podcast and Sunday specials. Red flag or deal breaker? The guy doesn't suggest a place for the first date. Some context. I've gone on multiple dates recently, all with guys I've met on Hinge, and none of them have suggested a place for the date. They'll say, let's do drinks. Are you free X days? And they will sometimes suggest a time, but leave the place picking to me. I personally don't mind this as it makes me less nervous on a first date if I know and like the place we're going. Some of my friends think this is just guys being lazy and not wanting to make a decision. Does this show a lack of interest on their end, or is it a nice gesture? I would love to know your thoughts.
Ashley, any thoughts?
Yeah, I feel like I'd give the guy the benefit of the doubt, because I think a lot of the times the guy gets nervous. He doesn't want to, you know, he's scared to pick something too casual, too fancy, you know, too far from the girl's place. I think
too close to his own.
Yeah, too close to his own. Right. So I think maybe it's just them feeling out the situation. And as long as, you know, they're quick to make a date and get it going, then I don't see any harm in the girl choosing the place.
Giordano, you have any thoughts?
I agree. I think I totally agree if that happens like a few times with someone, it's fine. But if you want them to pick the date, I think you can say like, why don't you pick this one? Or like after like a few dates, you could say like, I'd love for you to pick this one. And then if they're like totally against it, I think that would be like very weird. But if they're not taking initiative and you can suggest it, it'd be fine.
I like after the first date when the guy starts, you know, throwing out restaurant ideas, because you want to know that they're a planner and they have, you know, fun things ahead for you. So yeah, I like when the guy goes forward and makes a lot of plans.
That's the thing. Like, I can understand liking it. You know what I mean? Like, to say it's red flag or deal breaker, like to some people it might matter zero. Like, this is like telling people, like, it sounds like it annoys this person writing in. Like, to me, like, if it annoys you, don't go out with them. Like, I recently wrote to someone, hey, and that was my opening line on an app once, okay? I wrote, hey, and their first response was, I thought you'd have a better line than that, but I guess I'll deal with you and see if you can do better from here. It was like something like that, and I was like, unmatch, goodbye, yeah. Yeah. Done. And it was like, I was like, I'm not... And to some people, that's flirty. And some guys might be like, ooh, she's sassy. To me, I'm like, ugh, get the fuck out of here. So, like, I think this person has the right to be like, this doesn't get my juices flowing to, like, pick a place. But is it a deal breaker for everyone? No. I think there's also a way to, like, get out of this. If I were her, they'll say, let's do drinks. Are you free X days? Then we'll sometimes suggest a time. And then you say, you give the time, you say, yeah, that sounds good. Let me know where. And now right. It's like balls in their court. And if they can't do that, then again, that's like another sign that they're not for you.
Right. And then it would be weird if it had like, then all of a sudden there's a weird back and forth. Like, oh, well, you know, what kind of food do you like? Where do you like to go for drinks? And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, it's been days of trying to figure this out. Let's just meet and see if we like each other.
Sure. And or this person's a pain in the ass and I can't really even deal with this person anymore. let's do one more. Are you ready? J and J, love you both. Backstory. Been very casually hooking up with this guy. Very much just sex and nothing more. I received the most insane version of a UUP text sent via Snapchat. Was this exact photo?
I guess it's a Snapchat filter that makes you Shrek. It makes you look like Shrek. And then the caption is, should we have sex, TN, ?
Oh, my gosh. I got to see this.
We'll put it on the podcast Instagram story.
It's one of those like you put your eyes into Shrek. I just sent it to you, Ashley, so you could see it. It is scary, but and it has their lips, but it is funny.
I kind of like it, actually.
I'm into it too.
He has a sense of humor. I like right? it.
I prefer this to like someone sending a picture of like their penis with that on it. Like that would be a lot bigger of a turnoff to me.
Agreed. And that requires like thought and creativity. So like an A for effort.
I also like how the tone of the message matches the frankness of the Shrek. So Shrek has his hand out just, and the eyes, this guy did a full performance. It is a full, the eyes match the tone. It says, should we have sex, TN? Like, he didn't even write tonight. So it's like, should we have sex tonight? And it's just Shrek being like, So it makes, I think it's a full art piece.
Ashley, I have a question. If Snapchat existed while you and Jared were in college, can you see him sending a Snapchat like this to you?
100%. Yeah. And I probably would have been over there in less than 5 minutes. So it would have worked. Yeah.
What a fantastic ending to this episode. Ashley, thank you so much for coming on. This was so great.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Everyone needs to check out Ashley Bisman's book, okay? It's called Chasing Butterflies. It's out right now. Go get it. This is a summer read. This is beach reads. This is love in New York City, sex in the city. This is what it's all about. This is something light and fun that everyone's going to love. It's called Chasing Butterflies. Go, go, go. It'll be on my social media, be on the U Up and all that stuff. So,
and a portion of proceeds go to Tuesday's Children Charity, which is really amazing.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, I love that.
Love it.
Yeah. Okay.
So a good cause, a good book, great for everybody involved. So get involved. Ashley, thank you so much. This is fantastic.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. We'll see you next week. Bye.
U Up is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Maddie Paul. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at U Up Pod on Instagram and Twitter. And send us your emails to uup@betches.com. Betches.